Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Callum Stoneman, and welcome to Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio. Tech Talk is, of course, your weekly look at the world of technology from a blindness and low vision perspective. And as always, it is your programme, so do feel free to get in touch with us. Send us an email, or you can attach a voice note as well. We always love to hear from you, literally. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. Now, you're probably noticing things are sounding a little bit different this week, and that's because Dave, as we're recording this, is in California for CSUN. So we will be hearing from him a little bit later on. He's going to be bringing us some special reports from CSUN Assistive Technology Conference. And also this week, I will be getting my hands on the TalkActive 4G phone from Emporia. It's not just me, though. I do have my regular co-host, Tasni Marshad, with me, keeping me in check. Welcome back, Tasni. Did you get an invite to America?
I didn't, unfortunately, but I'm hoping there might be one in the post fairly soon, maybe for next year, Colin.
Yeah, don't worry about us, Dave. We're fine.
Yeah, we're absolutely. We're holding the fort here, Dave.
Unbelievable. Anyway, what's grabbing your attention in the tech world this week?
Well, apart from all of the being swamped with all of the artificial intelligence stuff that's going on currently, you and I were at a, kind of early preview demonstration of the Roxy Vision, sold by VisionAid and manufactured by a French company. But that type of product has been on my radar for quite some time now. I was just waiting for a product like this to come onto the market, and I'm glad that it's finally going to be here very soon with us. And it's an Android based, it's very small mobile size device. It's not a mobile phone, but it's a video magnification and very effective OCR all-in-one device. So stay tuned to learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, I had a bit of a sneak preview of it as well, and it does sound like a great product. I think for me, as you said, I'm just blown away by all the AI announcements that are going on with CSUN, which we'll get to. But just CSUN every year delivers, but it just seems to be on a whole new level this year. So yeah, do stick around. It's an exciting one this week. This is Tech Talk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the California State University of Northridge Access Technology Conference 2023. We've spoken with Envision, I think, a number of times here on RNIB Connect Radio. They are the company who, of course, have brought us the wearable products, the smart glasses, and I'm joined by Kartik from Envision. Hello, welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio. You guys have got some really exciting news this week. Why don't you just share that with the RNIB Connect Radio listeners?
Yes, firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys from RNIB. And, it's one of those podcasts I really look forward to being on. And we're here at CSUN, and like how we are every year. And, and it's a ritual almost at CSUN where we launch some cool, exciting stuff for the community to come and try out. And this year is no different. We've got a really interesting feature on the scan text or an interesting addition to the scan text feature on the Envision glasses. Now, for those of y'all who know a little bit about the Envision glasses, the scan text feature is a feature where you can go ahead and scan documents. You could scan books, newspapers, magazine articles, handwritten notes, pretty much anything you can throw at it. And, scan text used to be this really cool feature that just speaks out all the text that's there on a page. What we've done right now is now you can ask questions of the document that you've just scanned. You know, have a conversation with the AI that's basically scanning your document. So with me right now, I have the CSUN Assistive Technology Conference agenda for the week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to scan this document, and it's going to read out all of the text that's on the document. But the new feature that we're introducing is I can go ahead and ask it questions about the document, and the AI would basically understand the question that I'm asking, understand the document, and then give me a reply like how a human would actually do. So that's what we are launching at CSUN. It's going to be available as a free update to everybody who's using the Envision glasses, old and new, by the end of this month. So everyone can start talking to their glasses and look a little crazy while doing that.
Whoever knew that would be a thing, you'd be able to talk to your smart glasses.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kartik. Let's hear the demonstration.
Okay, so I've got the glasses connected to a Bluetooth Bluetooth speaker, you know, just so that, you know, your audience can hear it.
Reader. Scantex.
So I'm in the Scantex feature of the glasses, so I'm going to turn it on. And when I turn it on, what it currently does is it basically guides me on how to move the document, so it's entirely in frame, and then it takes a picture, and then it starts speaking stuff out to me. I'm going to pause it, and then I'm going to trigger the conversational AI, and then I'm going to have a conversation with it about the document itself.
Okay.
All right. So I've taken a picture right now. The document is being processed.
Reader. CSUN Assistive Technology Conference. Livestream session room. Heading.
Okay. So I've put the document reading on pause, and now I'm going to trigger the conversational AI. What are the social events happening at the conference?
Envision is answering your question. There are several social events taking place at the conference, including 1. Kickoff happy hour on Monday, March 13 at Platinum Patio from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. 2. Welcome reception on Tuesday, March 14 at Platinum Foyer from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
So I can just basically ask it, where is the karaoke session happening?
Envision is answering your question. The karaoke session is taking place in Platinum 6 from 7:00 p.m.
Yeah,
to 11:00 p.m.
In Platinum 6.
Yeah.
There we go. I know to avoid it now.
That's where you'll find me after the show.
Are you a singer? I didn't know this, Kartik.
Everyone who doesn't care about how their voice sounds like is a singer.
There you are. So, fantastic.
You know, I don't mind making people uncomfortable with my voice.
So you said triggering the AI. So you scan the document mm-hmm. in the normal way that obviously Envision Glasses users are already familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
How do you then get to ask questions of Envision about that document?
So we have a little hinge button on the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So when you press the hinge button, you'll be able to trigger voice commands. So that's the standard behavior we have throughout the glasses. And so when you trigger the voice commands feature from within the document reader, the glasses will automatically understand that you're going to ask it questions about the document. And so you can go ahead and, you know, start a conversation with the glasses that way.
Why do you think it's important for you to add a feature like this? It's really fun, right? I'm not saying it's impressive, but why is it important that you add a feature like that?
I think one of the, you know, really cool things that AI can do is it can help you make sense of the world faster, right? As a sighted person, I can take a quick glance at a page and I can, you know, years or billions of years of evolution has kind of helped me understand how to hone in on information very quickly. And AI is actually helping us do that, for people with visual disabilities now. And why not take advantage of it? Like if I'm scanning a menu item, I'd like to know what is there for desserts, right? Like yesterday when we were at the restaurant here at the Marriott, we basically scanned the menu and we asked it, like, can you tell me the dessert menu? Right? I mean, you don't have to go through the entire menu just to be able to figure out what the desserts are. And sometimes, desserts aren't called desserts in a menu. Like, you know, in the restaurant here, they call it spoonful of sugar. And the AI is able to understand that spoonful of sugar actually means dessert. And I can go ahead and ask it, like, just tell me that piece of information that I want. So it's about getting access to information at an ever faster pace. And that's what we're trying to do with this AI.
It's the sort of question I ask, what are the vegetarian options? Right, because I don't eat meat, so I just
exactly.
want to know that, you know. And then usually somebody's sort of scanning through and they're going burgers, you know, and they're going like, oh, okay, yeah, I found the vegetarian option. Whereas this potentially would mean I could do that myself, and it would happen more quickly. Who's the audience then for this? Who do you think is going to be using this?
You know, I think every single person who has a pair of glasses would use this stuff. Anyone who's scanning a document would use this. You know, yesterday we had Stevie Wonder try this out on some of the documents that he was carrying. He got to play around with this feature and he was asking it a whole bunch of questions. And I think everybody who has a pair of glasses, when they start to use this feature, it gets pretty addictive because you feel like I don't have to scroll through information or listen in on information anymore. I can just scan a document. If I know roughly what it's about, I can try to probe it for specific information. And if that, you know, if that piece of document has that information that I'm looking for, the AI is going to understand it and tell me. If it's not, it's going to tell me that either ways, right? So just incredibly fast access to information is what we're hoping for with the launch of this feature.
What did Stevie Wonder ask?
Stevie Wonder was going crazy. You know, he had these, you know, these manuals that he got for the synthesizers. So he was scanning the manuals and asking questions about the manuals and stuff. And it picked all of that stuff. You know, we've never shown it a manual of a synthesizer before, but it picked it up and it figured it out and, you know, gave him his answer. And he was all like smiled. So that's a nice day. You know.
What was his reaction?
He was blown away by it. Like he was like, when are you guys putting this stuff out? Like, can I take this pair that has this thing with me? We told him, hold on, like, we're going to clean this up a little bit more and we're going to get some more feedback and it'll be out by the end of the month so everyone can use it.
Excellent. So, look, this is great news. And I mean, are you using ChatGPT for this or something else?
So we are using GPT, not specifically ChatGPT, but we are using the latest GPT along with a bit of our own AI as well. So it's a mix of both.
And where do you see this going sort of longer term?
Oh, that is, we have some amazing demos that we have still planned for the rest of the CSUN week and also in the coming week as well.
Yeah.
So the way I see it, you don't ever have to go ahead and specifically go to a particular mode anymore on the glasses if you want to get information. Right. So right now, you know, if you want to read text, you go into like instant text or scan text feature on the glasses. You want to recognize faces, you go to a specific mode. But what we're working towards is a general conversational AI where there is just a camera feed that's on all the time. And, you know, you could just keep asking questions of the visual world around you. And the glasses will know exactly what information you're looking for, interpret that, and then give that information over to you. And even if you're not looking for that specific information or if you're having some trouble with it, you can go ahead and, you know, like say, okay, give me some other piece of information about the picture that I took, right? So that's what we're going to go for. We're trying to work towards a future where it's just a camera and your voice. And no need to go and look for no need to prompt the glasses to go into a specific mode anymore, you know?
We heard this week an announcement from Be My Eyes that they plan to use AI to enable users to ask questions about images. Is that the sort of thing that you might be looking to add, where a user might, you know, take a picture and then ask the AI, you know, was this indoors or outdoors, or, you know, what color is the dog, or whatever the picture happens to be?
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to be, you know, building on the glasses as well. And we're going to make it available for people who are all glasses users from get-go. So anybody who has a pair of glasses will be able to use these features. And I think this is going to be one of those things that will truly, you know, make a huge difference in the way people use products like the Envision glasses or apps, you know. And we're hoping that we can also bring it to the Envision app someday. But we're going to start off with the Envision glasses and slowly roll this out to the app as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to make sure that everyone's aware of that. That, yes, obviously the glasses is your kind of your main product, but actually you can have an Envision experience just on your cell phone, right? You're not just using the glasses. It's also available as an app as well.
Exactly. So the Envision app is available as a free app on both iOS and Android. You've got a lot of features of the glasses on the app as well, and it's completely free. You can use it to import PDFs. You can use it to scan documents. You could use it to describe scenes, recognize faces. And one of the really cool things that we're going to be doing in this year is also bring the Envision app to the desktop as well. So you're going to be able to not just use Envision on your iOS or Android device. You can also use it on your Windows, your Mac, your Linux, and also your browser. And we have some very, very exciting desktop-specific features that I think people will love. And we're going to be bringing all of that out this year. So it's going to be Envision everywhere.
And if listeners want to learn more and get pricing information, what's the best way to do that?
So listeners can go onto our website, letsenvision.com. That is LETSENVISION.com, and get more information about the glasses. They can also request a free demo of the Envision glasses, a free demonstration online or, you know, in real life of the Envision glasses. Give it a spin.
Kartik from Envision, thanks again for speaking with us here on RNIB Connect Radio. This is Dave Williams from the 2023 California State University Conference on Assistive Technology.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you.
Tasneem Arshad is with me again now. Taz, you've got the Envision glasses. What do you think to this? Are you going to be using this? Are you going to talk to your glasses?
Yeah, I mean, like Kartik said in the demonstration, it does sound a little bit mad talking to your smart glasses, but I guess that's the way the whole artificial intelligence is running at the moment, isn't it?
It's the future.
Absolutely, it is. It's very geeky, futury, smarty, whatever you want to call it, really. But yeah, I mean, I can absolutely see the benefits of it. I love the fact that assistive technology products have regular features and updates. But I do think if you're reading even basic information, you're just looking at a leaflet, you want a phone number, you can ask the AI, you know, read me out the phone number on this document or find X, Y, and Z. Now, working in healthcare, if I'm looking for a particular, well, actually, if you were working in any field, whether it's IT, healthcare, any other field, sighted people can scan read, they can look for specific words. So, for example, if I'm looking for post-traumatic stress disorder, abbreviated to PTSD, or obsessive compulsive disorder, abbreviated to OCD, I would like to be able to ask the AI, you know, find me OCD and just look for those specific terms or any other specific terms that I might be interested in just reading, or maybe looking at if I've got a book and I want to look in the index of that and again look for specific terms to see what chapters have those terms in, then I think that will be the beauty of it when it's there. I guess it's, you know, I'd need to sort of get the update first, give it a thorough trial run, and then give you a more balanced picture once I've actually used it thoroughly.
Yeah, I mean, he said two words in there that have me happy: free update.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, do let us know when you get it and how you find it. I know I don't have the glasses, but Be My Eyes have announced a similar feature called a virtual volunteer, which I'm on the waiting list for. And that's a similar kind of thing. That's in beta stage at the minute. And, you know, again, I will keep you posted if I get access to it. But that's a similar sort of thing where you can take a picture of an image and then ask questions about that image. And I would assume that the Be My Eyes one does the same with the same sort of thing with documents that the Envision does. So you can, you know, ask questions of it. And I loved the example that Karthik gave there is of a menu, because I do that all the time when we're out. If I'm out with friends or family or my wife, and then I would just go, oh, nah, do you know what? I don't really fancy a starter. Skip the starters. What are the main courses? Or, you know, read me the headings. And then they'll go, oh, well, there's pasta, there's burgers, there's grill. Oh, yeah, tell me what's on the grill. But you've got a person doing that. And that's okay when it's friends and family. But for me personally, if I'm on my own and I've got a waiter or, you know, a member of staff, or sometimes even a well-meaning member of the public reading the menu to me, you feel a bit pressured into, you know, rushed into making a choice because you don't want to take up their time. So if you can do that using the AI and the smart features, it's game-changing. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And the other thing that you mentioned, Callum, is the image stuff. So if it can actually describe, when AI gets to proper image description, that I think is going to be phenomenal, because I mean, it's getting there slowly, but once we've got that on board, then that's just going to be absolutely mind-blowing, I think, you know, to have images described by AI, and depending on its accuracy, yeah, will be absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, well, let us know. Are you excited for this? Will you be trying it out? Drop us an email with your thoughts or a voice note, techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
I'm Robin Spinks, and you're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. And I'm delighted to be joined by Kurjit and Joe from WeWalk. Now, one of the topics we talk a lot about on the show and also at the conferences that we attend is mobility and navigation. Kurjit, tell us, what is WeWalk?
So WeWalk is the company focusing on enhancing the mobility of visually impaired people and non- by its smart cane technology. So we are headquartered in London, UK, and we developed the patented smart cane technology for visually impaired people, which detects obstacles and alerts its user through haptic feedback, gives turn-by-turn navigation, informs you about restaurants, stores, cafes while you are passing by, and also you can get public transport timelines information through your smart cane WeWalk.
Now, navigation and orientation and mobility, obviously something we talk about a lot on the programme, and a lot of focus, understandably, is dedicated to that area. Tell us what makes WeWalk different from other navigational support options that are out there.
I think the multimodal navigation approach makes WeWalk really different. Joe is here from our team. He's the community manager of the WeWalk. Joe, would you like to give more information about the multimodal navigation system?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So as Kurshat mentioned, it's very unique in terms of the multimodal navigation system. When you're trying to reach long destinations, for example, if a destination is about 10 kilometers away, WeWalk will try to calculate the most efficient route from getting to point A to point B using a combination of walking as well as public transit routes. One thing we always like to emphasize as well is our application is designed for visually impaired people by visually impaired people. So our R&D lead does wonderful work around ensuring that our application is fully accessible for the visually impaired community. So not only do we make our application accessible for low vision users, but for blind vision users as well. So we make sure that it's fully compatible with screen readers. We also have low vision mapping available for our low vision users. In addition to that, we have a customized navigation screen to provide a fully accessible and simple experience for visually impaired people. So for example, we have a percent completion tracker, where as you get closer and closer to your destination, WeWalk counts from 0% to 100% to give the user a good frame of reference of whether or not they're going the correct direction. So a lot of features built in into one single app, so you don't have to worry about switching between different applications because WeWalk has all the features, including exploration mode, as Kurshat mentioned earlier, a turn-by-turn navigation mode, and also a public transit feature which allows you to be able to get timetables as well as to get stop tracking if you want to make sure that you don't miss your stop.
So as you understood, WeWalk Smart Cane has its own application, smartphone application as well. I think another important aspect of the WeWalk is while you are getting navigation, you don't need to hold your smartphone every time because as you know, as a visually impaired person, I have to use my cane with my one hand and I don't want to hold my smartphone with the other during my whole journey. So you can put your smartphone into your pocket and you can manage your own navigation experience from WeWalk's inbuilt touchpad and get directions, guidance from its speaker or from your Bluetooth headset.
Now, many people who are listening to the program will appreciate and really, you know, enthuse about and value technology in the way that we do. But there is also a companion service, which is called WeAssist. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's really a new solution of WeWalk. We are just piloting it. So visually impaired people needs visual assistance in most of the time. So when you need visual assistance, you can reach trained assistants from WeWalk application, and then you can ask whatever you want and our assistants can help you by reaching your camera as well as your location information, and then they can guide you about the store that you want to be, or you can get information while you are navigating in the airport, shopping mall, even while you are at your home. Maybe you want to read something, and so you can reach WeAssist service by clicking call WeAssist from WeWalk app, and then our assistants will help you.
Now, for people listening to this interview and thinking, this sounds fantastic, I'd really love to give this a go, but perhaps they don't really know anyone who's got a WeWalk cane. What's the best way for those people to find out more and to begin to explore it?
Yeah, so the easiest way would be visiting our website or you can also visit an RNIB store or the RNIB website as well to learn more information. You can purchase the WeWalk Smart Cane directly through that. Or if you download the WeWalk application, there will be additional details on how to use our app. We offer a free 14-day trial, and then after the 14-day trial ends, you have the option of subscribing to either a one-month or a one-year membership. However, the advantage of having the WeWalk Smart Cane, in addition to be able to control all of WeWalk app's features directly from the Smart Cane's touchpad, is the obstacle detection capabilities. So being able to get haptic feedback for when you approach any above chest level obstacles is a big advantage as well of owning the WeWalk Smart Cane. And once you pair up your Smart Cane with the WeWalk application, you have free subscription to our application. So no need to subscribe for a monthly or 1 year subscription. And as Kurshat mentioned, the application is constantly evolving. So it's one of those things where we're constantly looking for ways to improve the application. Some of the things that we're looking to integrate in the future are breadcrumbing possibilities, cross-street notifications, and also we are fortunate enough to have great partnerships across the world. We have been accepted for for Microsoft's AI for Accessibility program in order to develop our technologies and be able to share information such as cane angle, cane swipes, walking speeds, as well as distance traveled with O&Ms so that we can accelerate the cane training process. We'll be able to track things such as confidence levels as well to make sure that students as well as O&Ms are able to efficiently go through the O&M cane training process, and parents will also be able to get the confidence that they need to make sure that their children have the confidence that they need to be able to navigate outside independently on their own.
Fantastic. And you know, this sounds so exciting and crucial skills really for getting around for anyone, orientation and mobility skills, before we even begin to think about technology working in tandem with those skills. Now, I have to ask, we're in Anaheim at the start of the California State University Northridge Conference 2023. Anything that either of you are particularly looking forward to at this conference?
I'll allow you to answer that first, Kurshat.
So I think meeting you is the best part of this conference. So we are so excited to be with you in this event, and also we will be looking forward to meeting other organizations as well as assistive tech companies, and hopefully WeWalk journey will grow with its new partners and collaborations.
For me, I think it's just being able to connect with all of the different organizations and all the names that you hear in the visually impaired community. Even though there are many visually impaired people across the world, the visually impaired community is quite small and everyone seems to know one another, and you hear a lot of names thrown around. So just being able to meet everyone in person and try to discuss ways and how we can collaborate together to increase the independence of visually impaired people, and how we can just make the world more accessible for visually impaired people. So just being able to establish those connections and find where the synergies are between the different navigation companies, the different companies that are working on new computer vision aided technology, AI, and just again being able to connect with different people who share the same passion that we all share in terms of trying to make the world more accessible for everyone.
Fantastic. I mean, I think in RNIB, you know, we're super excited about the partnership we have with WeWalk. We're super excited also about the potential of technology to enable people to do more, to be more independent, to have more confidence, and just to get out and explore and enjoy the world. So I just want to say thank you very much to both of you, to Kurshat and also to Joe. Have a great conference, and we look forward to tracking the progress of WeWalk and also the DFA project going forward. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Have a great conference.
If you were listening a couple of weeks ago, you might remember we spoke to Chris Millington from Emporia. And one of the products that he mentioned was the Talk Active 4G, which is their clamshell phone with text-to-speech functionality for those who have low vision, and I've got one of these phones here to review and give a quick demo of. So just a quick disclosure, Emporia very kindly sent me this to review for Tech Talk, so thanks very much to them for sending me this. And also the phone was developed in partnership with the RNIB, but for me that's not going to change the way that I look at this and review this. I'm still going to give you my honest views, you know, talk you through it, show you what works well, what doesn't work so well, and obviously I'm still going to be fair and constructive as I normally would. So this phone is what most people would consider a basic phone. There's no touchscreen, it's entirely button-based, so there's no touchscreens. There's no smart features, it doesn't have an internet connection. Well, it does, it uses 4G for improved call quality and for system updates, but there's no connection to Wi-Fi, you can't download apps on this. Basically, it's your simple calls, text, and a couple of other sort of basic features, which is enough for most people. That's what some people are looking for in a device like this. So in the box, you get it's all really nicely packaged. It feels very premium. And in the box, you get a couple of printed sheets of paper, almost like leaflets. I'm assuming these are things like warranty information and device information and a user guide, or at least a getting started guide. You've got the Emporia Talk Active 4G itself. And then you have a few other things which are in nice little bags, and you know, you can really tell what each individual item is. So you've got the battery that comes out of the device when it's shipped, because of just for safety. So the battery is out of the device and it's in a little plastic bag. You also get a second battery cover, and I'll come on to that in a minute. You get your USB cable and your charging plug. And then you also get a little desk stand, which is really nice. So you can plug the USB-C cable, charging cable, into this little cradle. And then when your phone's ready to charge, instead of plugging the cable into your phone, you can just drop the phone onto the charging cradle and it will charge up, which is really, really nice. So the phone itself, I've got it in my hand right now and it's currently closed, and it is tiny. I know that might not be a helpful description, but I really don't know how else to describe it. It's really thin, really, really light, fits perfectly in the palm of my hand, and just a really nice feeling device. There's not very much when the device is closed. There is a tiny little external display on the very front. This isn't really much use to you if you haven't got much vision. So in my case, I'm totally blind, so there's no really use for this external display, but it does just show some key information, like your, if you've got any missed calls, I think there's some symbols that come up on there, so that would probably be useful for you if you've got enough vision to see it. On the side of the device, on the left hand side, you've got volume up and volume down. On the bottom of the device, there's a USB-C port for charging, so if you don't want to use the desk stand, you can just use a USB-C charger. And USB-C is the one that can be inserted either way as well, so you don't have to worry about getting it the right way around. So that's really nice that they're using that. And on the back of the phone, there is the battery cover. And in this battery cover that I've got on, there's a little dent in the cover. It kind of feels, I thought this was a camera lens at first, because this device does have a camera, but I'm not entirely sure where the lens for the camera is. And also there's no text-to-speech functionality on the camera. It's not like the iPhone where it will describe what's in the frame or if there's any faces visible or anything like that. There's no speech on the camera, so I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, I thought this was a camera bump. It's actually not. It's actually the emergency button. So you can set up contacts as emergency contacts, and then when you press this button at any time, even if the phone is closed, it will sound an alarm and it will make an emergency call. You can have up to 5 contacts set as emergency contacts, and it will ring all 5 of them in order until it gets an answer. And I believe the participant, I haven't actually tested this with it being an emergency function, but I believe the recipient of the call has to acknowledge the call by dialing 4 zeros on their keypad when they answer the call. When a call comes in, technically, as far as the device is concerned, when the recipient's voicemail picks up, that's the call being answered. So the reason the participant has to, or the recipient I should say, has to dial 4 zeros is just so that if the call goes to voicemail, the Emporia Talk Active doesn't think that the call has been answered and it knows to move on to the next person. So the emergency button is there on the back of the device, very obvious, very easy to feel. And the reason you get a second battery cover is that you can hide that emergency button. So instead of there being a little hole where you can put your finger in and press that button, you can have the second battery cover which covers that up. So if you don't want to use that, or you don't want to risk it being triggered by accident, then you could put that on, but you would have to take off the cover in order to get to the emergency button, or you would have to swap it to the one that comes on the phone by default. I'm now going to flip the phone up, and we've got the screen, which, as I said, is not touchscreen. And then coming onto the keypad, which has just opened up in front of me, the top left is the OK button. To the right of that, we've got two buttons which are separated by a little tactile line, and these are the up and down arrow keys. So they're used to move you through the menus or your contact list or call history. And then you have the back button. So the OK button is used to obviously select items in the menu and also answer calls. The back button will take you back a level in the menus and also end the call as well. Coming down from that, there are three rectangular buttons, and these are, from left to right, these are speed dial 1, camera button, and then speed dial 2. So the camera button is obviously the button that you press to launch the camera app and then take a photo. And speed dial 1 and 2, you can set those to contacts, and then all you have to do is just press one of the keys and it will instantly dial that number. You've then got your standard keypad underneath that, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The number 5 has got two very nice tactile markers on it. And then you've got 7, 8, 9, star, 0 and hash keys. And then at the very bottom, underneath the 0, is the power on-off button. So I'm going to hold down the power button, and I'm going to show you the setup procedure, because if you've had iPhones or smartphones in the past, you'll know that you've got to go through about 200 different setup screens, and you've got to sign into this, sign into that, agree to the terms and conditions, and transfer your data and all that. This is a really simple setup procedure. So I've pressed and holding the power button. Now you might have heard there we got a short vibration, just a tiny little bzz, and any second now it's going to play a nice loud startup tone. So then we'll know, there it is. Now this threw me a little bit. So this will only happen once. This is the initial setup screen. It's not said anything, but it's actually on the screen, it's actually asking us to choose a language. And as far as I'm aware, the voice functionality, they call it voice assistant. So the voice functionality, the text to speech, will only work in English. So I'm just going to press the arrow keys to just check that we're on the option.
HR Vatsky, English.
There's English. Press OK. And then it's not giving me another prompt, so I'll press OK again. Yeah, it's not prompting me what to do next, so I'll press OK again. Okay, so that previous prompt was prompting me to set the time, but again, it didn't tell me that. Now it's prompting me to set the date. So I'll just keep pressing OK through this.
Date set.
Date set. And now we're ready to go. That's it. That's the setup procedure, and we're now on the home screen. Now, it's a simple setup procedure. Select your language, set the time, set the date. But as you can hear, the text-to-speech prompts didn't tell us that. Now, in most cases, the time and date will be set. If you've put your SIM card in first, which I have done, the time and date will automatically be set via a network provider in most cases. So you shouldn't need to worry about that, because it should set them automatically. But it would be good if it told you what to do there. And I did try setting the time manually. I couldn't figure out how to do it because there were no voice prompts. But we can check. I can show you two things in one, actually. So if we close the phone, it's now closed, and we can check whether the time has been set correctly. If you press, this will only work when the phone's closed, but if you press either of the volume buttons, it will tell us the time and the battery level.
1337, battery level 85%.
There we go. And 1337, so yeah, it has set the correct time, which is good. When the phone is open, those buttons obviously change the volume. So to actually use this phone, it really couldn't be easier. So I'm going to open the phone up, and right now it's basically on the home screen and just ready for us to start dialing numbers. There are a few other things we can do though. We can go into the menu. So if I press the up arrow, that will launch the menu, and I'll just show you what the options are in here. There's not many. So if we press up arrow.
Messages.
First option is messages. And I'm just going to keep pressing down to go through these items. So you've got messages.
Photo album.
Photo album. This section isn't very accessible because it's photo based, but you can use it if you want to.
Tools. Contacts. Call history. Settings. Messages.
And there we go, we're back to messages. I'm just going to press the back button to get out of the menu. And now we're back on the home screen. If I was to press the down arrow when we're in the home screen, that would take me to my contacts list. We haven't got any contacts saved at the minute, so it would just say no contact. But rather than having to go into the contact list and, well, go into the menu and scroll through all your contacts, you could just press the down arrow. That would jump you straight into your contact list. And then you can scroll through, and when you hear the name you want, just press the OK button to call that person. And also from this home screen, you can just press the OK button without dialing any numbers or without pressing any of the arrow keys, and that will take you to your call history. So you'll have a list of all your incoming, outgoing and missed calls, all very nice and easily accessible. So there's those shortcuts there where you've got no need to go into the menus. You can just very quickly up arrow from the home screen to access the menu, down arrow to access your contacts, and the OK button to access your call history. So the simplest way to use this phone is that once you're on the home screen, so let's just say I've just taken the phone out of my pocket, I flipped it up, we're on the home screen, and you can literally just start dialing numbers. And as you dial, it will read out the numbers that you're typing in.
0, 3, 0, 3, 1, 2, 3, 9, 9, 9, 9.
I've just dialed the RNIB helpline number there. And if I made a mistake while I was typing any of that, I could have pressed the back button, that would have deleted the last character. Or I could press and hold it and that would delete the whole thing. I'm just going to press the OK button. And it will come through the phone's earpiece, but that is now calling the RNIB.
We want to create a world without barriers.
If I was to press the OK key, that would put it onto speakerphone. And obviously you can use the keypad on a phone line like this to choose options. If you want to end the call, you can either press the back button or we can just close the phone. And there we go, that's hung up the call and we got that little beep as well to confirm it. And the speaker, both on the handset and the loudspeaker, are both very loud. So if you've got... Emporia did mention that they target users who are elderly, and you can definitely see that with this. If you've got a hearing impairment, then I imagine you'll have no trouble hearing this. I'm going to go back into the menu and I'm going to show you what it sounds like when a call comes in. But before I do that, I'm going to add myself to my contacts so that it doesn't read my number out. So I've opened the phone up again. We're on the home screen. I'm just going to go to the menu by pressing the up arrow.
Messages.
Contacts is option 4, so I'll just press number 4.
Contacts.
Press OK on that.
Search for name.
Now if we press the down arrow.
Add contact.
Add contact, and now we press OK. Now again, this is one of the occasions where the voice assistant, as it's known, in my opinion, is lacking a little bit because it hasn't said anything. So when I first tested this, I'm thinking, well, is it wanting the name first or the number first? And it's actually wanting the name, and you can tell that by, if you press the keypad, it will start reading letters instead of numbers. And the way that you type on this is your good old-fashioned T9 keypad, so where number 2 has the letters A, B, C, 3 has D, E, and F, etc, etc. So if we put my name in here.
C, A, L, K, L, U, M.
Put my name in, and now we press OK. And again, it's not giving us a prompt, but now it's asking for the phone number. So I'll type in my phone number. Obviously, we'll edit this out of the recording. Now I've typed in my number, so I'll press OK.
Callum has been saved.
And then it says Callum has been saved. So now, I mentioned earlier about going through your contact list. If we go back to the home screen and we just press the down arrow.
Callum.
There we go. There's my name, and I could press OK to instantly make a call to myself. But I'm going to show you what it sounds like when a call is received. So I've closed the phone, and the phone is just closed shut and locked as if it's just in my pocket. So if I now grab my iPhone here and just make a call to this test number. To the
incoming call from Callum. Incoming call from Callum.
And there you go. So you get the ringtone and you get the voice telling you who the call's from. To answer this, you just flip the phone open and press the OK key, and that would answer the call.
New missed call.
I rejected the call there. There's two ways you can do this. You can have it so that you open the phone and then press OK to answer it, which is what it's on by default. Or you can have it where you just flip open the phone and it answers the call straight away. I've still got it set to that you have to press OK first, so I just opened the phone to shut the ringtone up and then closed it again. And that rejected the call. And as you could hear, it left me a missed call. Writing messages also works in a similar way. So if we press the up arrow to go to messages.
Messages.
And press the OK button.
Write message.
First option there is write message. And so we press OK there. And again, there's no prompt, but this first bit is what you want the actual message to say. This was even more confusing for me because the keypad, again, if we type, it's going to start reading letters. But I was still thinking, well, is this the letters or the message content? Or are we searching for contacts? But it does become clearer as you go through. So if we just write a really quick message here.
T-E-S-T.
So test, press OK.
Send.
And we've got a couple of options here. We've got send, if we go down.
Picture.
You could attach a picture message to it.
Contact details.
Or you could attach a contact, but I'm just going to go to send.
Send.
Press OK.
Contact.
And we've got a couple more options here. Contact.
Phone number.
Or phone number, so you could enter a phone number manually for the message to be sent.
Recent calls.
Or you can go from your recent calls as well.
Contact.
I'm just going to go to contact, press OK.
Callum.
I'm the only contact there, so that's my name, so press OK on that.
Do you want to send the message now?
And yes, I do, so I'll press OK. If I didn't, I could press back, and it would take me back one level, but I'll press OK on that.
Sending. Write message.
That's sent, and my watch has just buzzed for that message coming through as well. And then we're back to the main menu of messages, write message. So I'm going to close the phone. There are a few other things with this. I wouldn't go as far as to say smart features, but a few basic smart features. So for example, in the tools menu, there are things like calendar and birthday reminder and calculator. I've not found them to be very accessible. As soon as you go into things like the calendar, for example, the voice assistant just stops talking. And it does warn you in the user guide, it does say that those features are not accessible. I would say that, I mean, this isn't a bad product by any stretch, but I would say it's probably aimed at if you've got limited vision. So you'd prefer to have the speech, but you have got enough vision to see the screen. And the reason I say that is because of these occasions, for example, with writing messages or adding contacts, or even setting the time and date where the voice assistant doesn't prompt you for what input it's looking for. I mean, you know, for example, when you go into that write message, it would be good if it said message content, or even if it just said message, at least you'd know what you were typing in there. And as I said, it does become clearer as you go through it because you get the option of send, and then it says, do you want to send to a phone number or your contacts? So you know at that point that it's picking a recipient. But it would just be nice for new users, especially for the voice assistant, to be a bit more descriptive there. Having said that, though, there is in the options for this, in the tools, I think it is, or it might be in settings, there is the option of system update. So this thing can receive software updates, and I'm sure that, you know, this is something that Emporia would be able to improve on based on software updates. So, I mean, if you're totally blind, you could still absolutely use this. Think features like the calendar and birthday reminders and calculator and stuff I don't think would work. But if you're just looking for your basic, you know, call and text phone, then you could absolutely use this. You just need to remember the order in which things go in. So, for example, adding contacts, it's name first and then number. Similar with messages, it's message content first and then the recipient. For setting the time and date, I think you would have to get Cited help to do that, because I've not found a way to set it manually. But that's if you needed to. You probably won't need to. If you've got decent network coverage, it should set itself and it should adjust itself when it comes to daylight savings time and things like that. So a really nice little device if you're just looking for a basic phone. It would be great if Emporia could take that feedback on board. But overall, I would recommend this. It's really nice. It's a really nice little basic phone.
Thank you for that, as always, Callum. A wonderful demonstration of the Talk Active. I'm wondering how you found using it.
Yeah, I found it really nice. You know, really nice tactile buttons, really nice and clear speech feedback. It couldn't be simpler, really, especially the whole thing of all you have to do if you want to make a call is just flip the phone up and then you can instantly just start dialing a number or press the down arrow key and you're straight into your contact list. It's just really nice and simple. So yeah, I'm very impressed.
We had Chris Millington on recently on Tech Talk. He's the chief executive of Emporia, and he was mentioning that their target audience is the older generation. Do you think this would fit with people with dexterity issues and who have visual disabilities or low vision?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the buttons themselves are just really nice, well spaced out, really tactile. You can easily tell what they do, and there's nice gaps between them. There's that nice little dot on the number 5 that we all love, so you can tell where you are on the keypad. And there's a really nice firm click with the buttons as well. I guess the only thing that someone with dexterity issues might have trouble with is that motion of flipping the phone up, you know, opening it out. But I'm not too sure. It's not heavy at all. It's really light, both to hold and to flip up and flip closed. So I think I think they'd be fine, to be honest. It's a really nice product, and you can definitely see they've got the target audience well, I think.
Yeah, that's really good. So if you're in the market of an elderly family relative who wants a new mobile phone, then this is definitely one to watch out for then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from the California State University Assistive Technology Conference 2023. And we are rejoined here on RNIB Connect Radio by an old friend from Orbit Research. It is, of course, Venkatesh Chari. Hello, Venkatesh. Welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio. Great to have you with us. Now, of course, Orbit Research, known for pioneering lower cost, refreshable Braille technology. The Orbit Reader 20, of course, has been in the UK for a number of years, as has the Orbit Reader 40. But you guys have got a whole load of new stuff going on now. I couldn't believe how many products were on your table. So just talk us through your recent announcements.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Dave. It's always a pleasure. So yeah, we have a few products that we have just announced at this conference, and also a few that we announced a few months ago that are about to start shipping. So talking about Braille displays, you know, continuing our line of low-cost Braille products, we now have two multi-line Braille display models. We call them the Orbit Slate 520, which is 5 lines of 20 cells, and the Orbit Slate 340, which gives you 3 lines of 40 cells. And they're both very, very affordable, similar in cost to actually what you would expect from a 40-cell display, but offering 3 lines and 5 lines. They do similar things to what you would expect from our other Braille displays, the Orbit Reader 20 and the Orbit Reader 40, but they also provide some unique features to allow you to read things that are spatially organized, such as math and music. Then we have also just announced yesterday a brand new product, which we call the Optima Braille Laptop Computer. And this is a pretty unique product, in which we hope will address a lot of concerns that have prevailed in the community about note takers. So this is a very small, compact form factor. It does not have a display screen. It's got a full QWERTY full-size QWERTY keyboard, obviously the compact laptop type of layout, and 40 cells of Braille. The really important thing about this product is that it is a
traditional standard laptop computer. It has everything that you would expect from a laptop. There are no compromises. But it also has complete configurability and choices for the user. So not only can you configure it the way you want it with the latest generation of Intel processors, with the RAM and the storage that you would like when you purchase it, but it is fully upgradable. So at any point in the future, if you want a more powerful processor or more memory, you simply upgrade it. And it also offers a choice of Braille. So not only does it come with the Orbit True Braille, you know, signage quality Braille, but we also offer the traditional piezo Braille. We realize people have preferences, and we want to cater to all of those. So that's the second product that that I wanted to mention. And lastly, we also launched a line of magnifier products. We call them the Orbit Magna. And these are small handheld magnifiers in three sizes. We're starting with a 3.5 inch, which we call the Magna 3, a 4.2 inch, which we call the Magna 4, and a 5 inch, which we call the Magna 5. And these offer the functionality that you would expect from magnifiers like this, you know, different contrast modes, different zoom levels, brightness levels. They're very simple, easy to use, ergonomically designed, very rugged, and they are fully backed by our support and warranty.
With the Slate, so your multi-line Orbit Reader displays, so you mentioned there are two configurations there. Just explain, if you can, about screen reader support. Will the screen readers work with those multiple lines at this point?
Yes, that's a great question. So the screen readers will work with them. There are essentially two modes in which they can be used. One is what you would call normal flow mode, where lines of text basically flow on to the next line of the Braille display. So once you exceed 20 characters, the line continues on the next line of Braille. So that mode will be supported pretty much out of the box with most screen readers. We are working with all of the screen reader developers to also support what we call window mode, where the Braille display, the multi-line Braille display, provides a 20x5 line window into whatever text you have, whatever spatially organized information you have, such as a table, a matrix if you're learning math, or a system of equations. And by having this window, you have the ability to scroll and pan across your information to preserve the spatial organization of that information. So there's no flow in that case.
And you know I'm going to ask you, when can we expect to see that functionality?
So that functionality will vary by screen reader provider. We are talking closely with all of them. All of them have committed to supporting it, but it depends on their own development schedule. So it might be a little bit of time, it might be a few months.
In other words, don't ask you, ask them.
That's right.
I see. So on the laptop then, so that's really an interesting shift for yourselves, because you've always been about the trying to push the cost down, you know, with the Braille, but you recognize there are some users for whom actually piezo might still be the best option. What kind of forced your hand there? What tipped the balance?
So that it's not I would not call it as something that forced our hand. We have always been about what the user community needs. And, you know, for the longest time, what was the most necessary was affordability. And that still remains a key driver. However, we recognize that that some people want choices and have preferences. And that's what we're trying to offer. Mm. So it's, you know, we feel that this is just a natural progression for us. You know, even when we, you know, we're developing products with only our Braille technology, and we still do, of course, that's the default technology for us. We have never been closed to the idea of offering other options. So, we think this is just natural progression, and we
Yeah.
We are very happy about it.
And that Optima laptop from Orbit, is that going to come with a screen reader on board, or is that something that the user needs to add?
Yeah, so it is, for all practical purposes, a standard laptop running Windows 11. It'll come loaded with that. It'll also come loaded with NVDA by default, you know, fully activated, offering speech as well as Braille output. But since it's a standard computer, you'll have the ability to load any other screen reader of your choice.
And then finally, on the magnifiers, it's such a busy space, the whole, you know, portable video magnifiers. I used to joke with one company that they had a different magnifier for every day of the week. Why did you feel that that was an area that you at Orbit wanted to get into?
So the driving force really was the affordability part of the equation. We know there's a lot of people in this space, a lot of companies in this space. They offer a wide range of products, a lot of good products out there, but almost without exception, they are quite expensive. There are low-cost models, some of them, that do not offer the quality and the features, and that's where we aim to make the difference. We, you know, we wish to offer affordable products with high quality and good functionality.
And all these products that you've told us about, are they available today, or are they coming soon?
So the magnifier products are available today. They can be ordered through us. The Optima is scheduled to ship in the first quarter of 2024. And the Slate products, the Slate models are slated to ship, pardon the pun, in April next month.
All right. Okay. I know you've got to shoot. I mean, you are working on some other things. You've always got ideas brewing. Is there anything else that we need to be talking about at this point, or should we leave it there?
Yes, I'd just like to say a few words about the Orbit Speak. The Orbit Speak is something that we had actually originally announced at last season, and I'm very happy to say that we now have working models that that we can show at our booth today. I do have one here, and I think it's going to say empty folder because we have not tried to set it up. But yes, we have a lot of the development complete. We expect to ship these at the end of the second quarter this year, so in the June time frame.
So the Orbit Speak, it's sort of like a bit like the old Braille and Speak in a way, that you've got a Braille keyboard, built-in speaker. I can feel there's an SD card slot there on the front, and various connectivity options for those users who just want a Braille keyboard. They don't necessarily need Braille output. Just to be able to, as a little kind of portable note taker, I guess.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to learning more about that as the Orbit Speak develops. Venkatesh Chari from Orbit Research, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
And that's it for this week's Tech Talk. Do join us next week when we will have some more interviews from the CSUN Assistive Technology Conference, and we'll also be learning more about the Voxy Vision that Tasneem mentioned at the start of the show. So do tune in and join us for that. And let us know, what are your thoughts on the big announcements from CSUN? Are you interested in any of it? Does it all sound a bit far-fetched? Does it all sound a bit futuristic? Do let us know what you think about those announcements or any other topics that we've discussed on Tech Talk. You know how to get in touch with us. Emails and voice notes, always welcome. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And until next week.
Bye for now. See you soon.
Bye for now.